Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voices of the Earth. I'm your host, Carol Omart-Behan, speaking to you live broadcast the evening of June the 3rd. It is 7 p.m. on the East Coast in the Eastern Time Zone, and the sun is still gloriously high, lighting up the trees from the view I have across my lovely pond into the woodlands here on the northwest corner of the Catskill Mountains. Light Spring Glen is where I call home and where I broadcast this wonderful show from. Voices of the Earth has been coming to Blog Talk Radio and the Art of Living Well Radio Network of the connection into Blog Talk Radio for well over a year now. I have had tremendous guests throughout this year. There are a pair of tremendous guests soon to join me for this hour, speaking about their collaborative effort with about 16 other people, and we hear how that happened, writing an amazing book, Sacred Sex and Magic. We will hear everything there is to hear about that, or at least enough to whet every listener's appetite to be sure that they go out, find themselves a way to get their own copy and learn the beautifulness of what this book is offering to us in the year 2015, and especially in this beautiful time of year. Welcome, listeners who are new to this broadcast, whether you're listening live to us tonight or you're hearing this in a few days or a week or whatever it is might be, to the podcast. And I am willing to bet that there will be a healthy number of listeners. It is, after all, an intriguing topic. We are human beings, spirits having a human experience. For those of us who are on a spiritual path, we often like to say that, and sexuality and magic and all of that lovely stuff which makes our lives so beautiful and full is such an important part of it, but a part that we oftentimes do not fully understand and need to find and be given ways to make this more wonderful, magical, all of that stuff. So I won't steal any more from the presentation we're about to receive, but I'd love to, in particular for new listeners, and a special welcome to you, tell you just a tiny bit. Voices of the Earth, coming to you on the Art of Living Well Radio Network, has these about 40 shows in here now. People have shared their work in the world and how it is they're bringing their magic to bear, helping one another, helping Mother Earth, all of that lovely stuff in what I've done. Sometimes I come up with just a generic word and then throw it in. But among these wonderful guests, an example would be Diana Rankin, who was on the program a week ago speaking about nature's healing powers. Where you can find out more about these programs, if this is a brand new thing and you've come because you know these two fine women who are about to speak with me or have been drawn to some other amazing synchronistic way of finding out about the show, goldenspiraljourney.com is my website on which you will find more details about this program and an archive conveniently placed there for you to go and listen to any of the programs that have been done throughout this past year and about a month now. So with that much said, I will remind live listeners, if you don't already know this, it is a call-in radio program. I am, again, more than willing to bet that we will have people who have comments, have praise to give these two of these group of authors, these two fine ones who are here tonight, call in with your comments, call in with your questions. But we are going to ask that you hold off on that until later in the broadcast. I'm going to unmute the mics of these two fine people. We have Dorothy Abrams and we have Sean Marie Jones coming to speak to us tonight about sacred sex and magic. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Carol.
Welcome.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Dorothy. And in all honesty, I must say Dorothy and I have a bit of a history in terms of things we have done, not through this particular topic in terms of my knowing some of what's been going on at the Web Path Center. If any of you are, and I want to take just a quick minute to say we've had some techno-interesting, I think, Mercury retrograde mischief. There is a lovely set of photos in a slideshow that should hopefully be be going one picture to another while you are listening to this program. Again, whether it's live or in podcast, I certainly hope so. They sent me some wonderful pictures. But Dorothy and I had a connection to the WebPath Center several years ago, and so I'm celebrating that this is a bit of a reunion. And Sean and I are getting acquainted by spending this hour together. So in the years since I have been up your way, the WebPath Center, I think, has become a little bit different of a place. And what you have done in addition, Dorothy, is to have this place now located in Lyons, New York. So let me give you two questions to start us off. And they are, what is the WebPath Center? And from there, what is the story behind this book, Sacred Sex and Magic?
Well, the WebPath Center has been around since about 1993. The common way to describe it is a pagan church, although I think that's an oxymoron, and I would call it a pagan spiritual center. We are located in Lyons, in a storefront, and we meet on the full moons, eight ritual days during the year, for ritual and community and friendship. We also teach classes, and we respect the arts as a spiritual practice. So it was kind of a real encouragement to all of us to actually sit down and write a book together, because that's as much as an important part of our work as celebrating a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the web is. Mm-hmm. It's a community. Now, the book,
and I love the idea. I will just say, and I've always, as since I've been acquainted with it, to call it the web. The idea of the connections that we share. So it just my personal enjoyment of that concept of that word, and of course the connection to being a community. So continue with what that thought was. I interrupted just a tad there.
Well, that was a good interruption, because I should have probably said that we were the web before there was a World Wide Web. So the web is more like a spider web or a network, and it really talks about the interconnection of all being together. And it also harkens back to the Southwest Native American legends of Grandmother Spider. So all of those are kind of wrapped up in our identity. To tell you about the book, it's kind of interesting that I had written another book, which you and I are going to talk about in July, called
That's
Identity.
That's right, and I will be prompted, I hope, at the end, but I'll say it quick now. Dorothy is going to return to talk about her other book, and so that I don't mispronounce the title, just quick tell us that title, and people will return July 8th to hear more.
It's Identity and the Quartered Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And after I finished that, I was casting about for my next project. And as we often do, I took it to a moon ritual to include it in my meditation with the moon goddess to figure out what's next. And sure enough, she suggested in meditation that I should write a book about sacred sex and magic. I have to say I gulped, because that was not on my radar. It wasn't what I intended to do next. Mm-hmm. And so when I shared that back with the circle, bless her heart, one of the other women, I think it was Mary Moon, said, why don't we all write this together? And everybody jumped on the idea and said, yeah, that would be great. So I was relieved, to say the least. And so we got together, had a couple forums just to put ideas out there and figure out what are we going to include in the book. And then my publisher, Moon Books, came along and said, is anybody interested in writing a book about sacred sex and magic?
Oh, you're kidding.
So it was synchronicity. And there we were, already with the idea.
Wow. Sean, do you remember some of those early, the inspiration as Dorothy's been describing it, and how did you feel as this was getting up and running?
It was one of those things where Dorothy had come to visit my office, and we were just talking, and she kind of sidled it in really nonchalant and, you know, just really curious, and she had a really big grin on her face because I could tell it wasn't something that she was looking to do next necessarily, but she told me the story of the inspiration, And I wasn't necessarily put off, but it definitely was like a really big question for me to all of a sudden say, wow, this is an opportunity to get all of these things into words that I've, you know, been thinking and contemplating and discussing all this time. And so it was really more of an opportunity for me to actually really develop how specifically I felt and what my experiences were through mm-hmm. sacred sex. So it's been a learning experience, needless to say.
Yes.
I should go back and tell a story from when I was starting out in college, and people need to know I'm retired. So that was a bit of a time ago. And I had a dream about art, and I wasn't a pagan at all. In fact, I was a very strong Christian. And at the time, it was quite of a shocking dream because the essence of the dream came back and said sexual orgasm, spiritual ecstasy, and the rush you get from creative projects, art, music, and writing are all the same thing.
Oh, my.
It had the strength of one of those dreams you wake up and said, well, that must be true, but I never heard that before. And I think that's what really started me on this.
Absolutely. The question, it depends on, I don't want to get this too broad, but if you want to each, I don't know, one of you tackle it or another, but if people come up to you, say, they've heard about this book, and they ask you straightforwardly, tell us what Sacred Sex and Magic is about. You know, it's that little, like when you're at a conference and you're supposed to answer quickly like it's a book, a conference, or published. What do you say to that in that concise way? And then we'll launch into a broader aspect. So either of you or both, what is this book about? Other than the title tells us.
It takes the practices of meditation, ritual, and introspection, as well as personal sexual practice, and puts them together with respect, privacy, inclusivity. It is not limited to heterosexual people. We try to make this as practical, natural, and fitting for just ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a how-to book on incorporating sacredness in the intimate parts of your life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that very much, personally, that incorporating sacredness into this intimate part of your life. Sean, do you want to respond to this question? I mean, we've got plenty to discuss, so is there anything you
Absolutely.
Want to add?
Yeah, and Dorothy said it very succinctly. You know, I think especially mm-hmm. it's a really great way for people to start exploring deepening the spiritual relationship that they have with a partner or partners. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something that is not easily found in our modern culture anymore. There's a lot of disconnection going on. And I know, especially in my peer group, folks who are, you know, 35 and younger, there's a lot of confusion out there about what's best for you or your partner or the type of relationship that you want. And this is a really great way to introduce yourself into looking at things just simply from a different perspective and maybe mm-hmm. going a little bit deeper than you have before.
Well, this is wonderful in that I, again, live listeners, people who will listen to it later on, already we've dispelled that idea, oh, do I have to become pagan in order to get what I need out of this book. That's not the case at all. And I've read enough of the book to emphasize that same thing. Well, let's go to the second word of the title, the word magic, because that's, wow, what's that? So the question I'm going to pose to you is this, and whichever of you wants to pick it up. Do you believe in magic in the sense of making things happen that might not happen otherwise? And is this something anybody can do? So
you got that question, and I know you've also got a copy of it, so I don't have to necessarily repeat it. So this is what, tell us about this magic, if you would, one or the other view or both.
Do you want to go ahead, Sean?
I sure can. Mm-hmm. And this was something that I was really sitting with last night, because I definitely come from a background that's the very different end of the spectrum than where I am now, and that's just been part of my journey, and so here I am. And I know for me, magic itself is an expression of fertility. It is literally creation itself. And so we're constantly seeking to understand or find guidance or healing in magic. And it influences, you know, every aspect of our lives, whether we realize it or not. And so by actually taking up the practice or ritual of magic, we are participating in our lives. We're participating just as much as we respond or react in a really non-conscious way. So this is actually a very conscious way of interacting with our environment and our emotional and spiritual state, and that timeline goes, you know, not only ahead of us into the future, but of course behind us and where we've come from. And so within that, you know, that first step of doing that, we're also taking full responsibility in each action and evocation and interaction that we participate in. And I, all I know is that life would be really boring. It's the way that I do. This is, you know, this is my absolute intimate, you know, interaction with my personal experience in this lifetime. And I'm just definitely in the mode of soaking up every ability that I have to interact and experience that. And that's what magic provides me.
Oh, incredibly eloquently said. Thank you. So, Dorothy, a teacher, and you have been my teacher, Dorothy, and I've learned such wonderful things. And I wanted to say quick, because I was thinking this in the half an hour or so before the program, I know very, very well that even coming in my life to do this Voices of the Earth and offer it as some of my particular work in the world, I know that roots of this are back to my learnings at WebPath. So I just want to thank you in that sense. And it's been a particular sort of magic that, I mean, it's techno magic, and that the three of us, here we are chatting away in our different parts of the world, and people later will listen to us. So I love that kind of, all of that encompassingness. But back to the basic idea of magic, that's a concept, I think, that is a little far for some people, whether it is you're semi-conscious or not. What can you help us out with a little more around magic?
If people think about how coincidence, or we might say synchronicity, takes place in their life, that's magical. Mm-hmm. And I think Carl Jung, the psychologist, tended to agree with that. He's the one that noticed how things, when you need them, happen. And that's a portion of magic that people experience. Frankly, I was in the Christian church looking for magic or miracles, and I found them.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are available now. They just didn't happen 2,000 years ago. Two of my favorite pieces of magic that I use frequently during the week. One is parking place magic.
Yeah,
I send a head and say, I need a parking place in front of such and such store. Now, for me, that's a legitimate request, because I'm old. Well, yeah. Okay. I need not to walk two blocks to the store. So I drive up, and there's my parking place. Somebody may be just pulling out of it, but it's 9 times out of 10 always there, way beyond the odds of what one might find. And the other one is in finding lost objects. If one knows how to ground and center, which we could talk about all night, but just getting the panic out of, I can't find my wallet or my car keys. If you can ground and center and close your eyes and say, reach, that's a magic word. Because you'll feel a pull. And that pull will take you where whatever the lost item is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 9 times out of 10. Now, sometimes, if it's been stolen by somebody else, then you aren't going to find it. Mm-hmm. But if it's there to be found, Most of the time, you'll go right to it.
Yeah. I love the practicality of that. And I know, again, this book is not like a tome of a couple hundred pages. People can learn so much, and it's wonderful. It's like a little it's a gem. I feel so much of that as I've become more familiar with it. Well, let's go over. Sean, did you want to add anything to that? Because I know we've got, and we have ourselves the luxury of going all the way to the next half hour. But so before we go on to the other part of the title, do you have anything else you wanted to add about magic? Just didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, that's fine. And Dorothy had a very perfect example of how we use magic every day. And, you know, one of the things that I remind my children is that, you know, your words are magic, too. And so, you know, I've got two little boys that love to wrestle, and we, you know, our house is full of fart jokes and all of these things. And so the older one always constantly, you know, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. And, you know, I'm constantly reminding him, I'm like, your words actually have a lot of power behind them. So how about you tell him exactly what he can do? You know, how about be careful, or you're making it across, you know, that plank of wood, A-okay, or however, whatever. And that can be a really simplistic, you know, childish kind of example, but at the same time, the way that we interact with each other and our words has profound influence, and is itself magic as well.
Yes. Absolutely, the vibrational aspect, something I was reading near the end of my time today through the book. Let's go to the next part of this, and I'm going to pose the question this way, and again, whichever of you would like to start. Do you think all sex is sacred or magical, or do we have to do something different to reach into and attain that special category?
Oh, gosh. I don't think all sex is sacred or magical. I think it would be nice if it was, but I think that there is such an area of imbalance of power between sex partners, of, unfortunately, sexual assault, of sexual manipulation, particularly all of the news stuff that's come out on college campuses, and the use of date rape drugs and that sort of stuff, there's nothing sacred or magical about those interactions.
Mm-hmm.
No means no. Nobody should be forced to participate in any sexual act, and no one should be manipulated or guilt-tripped into participating in something that they don't feel comfortable with, that they didn't want, or that they don't respect. So we have a lot of work to do before we can say all sex is sacred or magical. A lot of it isn't even compassionate. We do have to do something different in order to reach sacred sex and magic. And it starts with a balance of power and magic, or balance of power and respect, which itself is magical, and a real compassionate caring and connection between the participants, because you gotta really care about the other person's feelings and where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Sacred sex and magic can be about sexual healing of abuse, but you have to really be sensitive and aware of what that other partner has been through and why they may be crying, or why they may cringe when you touch them, and very patient not to go faster than someone else is ready for. Maybe the sacred sex in that sense is simply talking and listening and not trying to fix, but hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's magic.
And there it is, the magic. And I'm sure Sean and I are both nodding about this, and it's such a basic thing. So of course, there are these things that are so far from being sacred. So I want to pose a question of this then. As you decide, I know that given what was brought to you from the goddess, from your connection to spirit, and the reference, and my connection too is to goddess for the most part, with the what lie behind the need for this book to be written. So So let's see if I can phrase this question. What do you hope maybe most that people will, you know, people that come from a less paganish background, what do you hope to be sending out there that people can benefit from by learning more about the sacredness of sex? So if you're comfortable with that question, I'd love some input from each of you about that. Where do you hope this is all going for people?
Well, I hope it opens up people's awareness of how really sacred their bodies are, regardless of what they look like, regardless of how old they are, or young, or round, or skinny. Their bodies are beautiful. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. And I hope this goes to enhance conversations between partners who would say, I read this book, I'd like you to read it, and then we need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it can open up for people a deeper level of intimacy and a deeper sense of the possibilities, particularly in committed couples who may just be so stressed by everyday life that they almost forget intimacy and they almost forget why they got together in the first place.
Yeah.
And perhaps
yeah.
this can bring them back to the magic of their own passion and to share that in an intentional way that lifts up both parties. So mm-hmm. that sex is never something you do to someone else, it's a sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So if people can walk away from the book with a sense of that and a goal to talk more about what's important to them about their self-esteem in a sexual relationship, I'd be just as happy as I could be.
Mm-hmm. And, Sean, I'm sure you have your response in mind to do this. And then, you know, after that, I'd love for each of you to talk, because it is this collaborative effort. I read somewhere in the background of the book a total of like 18 of you worked on this. So this particular question and how you were forming an idea, a response, but then following that, maybe describe what part of the book you worked on. So can you got that? You, where I'm pushing you in the direction to talk?
Yeah, and actually that flows really, really well.
Yeah,
so that
excellent.
Yeah. So just to address, you know, whether or not sex is always sacred, I completely agree with Dorothy that, you know, sex is as sacred as we want it to be or don't, the lack thereof, the complete, you know, just not participation. And sometimes that's due to ignorance and lack of awareness or anyone actually bringing it to your awareness. And sometimes, you know, just like Dorothy said, there are struggles with actual power in relationships, and especially when it comes to sexual abuse and rape and those kinds of things. It's a really, really huge, rampant problem. And again, you know, with folks in my peer group, and I'm looking and watching my younger siblings as they get older and deal with all of these same subjects, and it can be a lot to really try to wrap your head around, because again, our culture is not cultivating a sacred perspective when it comes to sex sells. That's really what,
yeah.
you know, my children are completely obliterated with every day. Even though we keep, you know, so many things out of our home, it doesn't matter. All we have to do is turn on the radio. All we have to do is go to the store and look at the newspaper stand, and it's everywhere. So, unfortunately, because sex has turned into, there's a dichotomy there where there was this beautiful, wonderful, you know, liberation, but at the same time it was taken and abused in a way that has made it very difficult for people to recognize what sacred sex is or that it even exists. It's sometimes
mm-hmm.
just not
yeah.
something people have simply
Excellent.
In any kind of way experienced in a thought or a question or anything. And so all of that to say, you know, the part of the book that I specifically worked on was about intention and intentional sex, when it actually comes down to the honest and very specific communication that partners have And, you know, there's something to be said, of course, you know, in all of this conversation about what happens when two people actually have sex. The biochemical result of an orgasm, you know, releases oxytocin in a woman. That's actually a bonding chemical. It's a bonding hormone. And so it's simply impossible to say that casual sex is something that can be easily done. And it's not necessarily to bash casual sex by any kind of means, but what it means is that we absolutely have to have very clear communication. We have to have a very clear intention. We have to have boundaries. We have to have, you know, a conversation about it. And tumbling into bed with someone, it happens, and everybody, you know, has experienced something like that to a degree or maybe not, and that's entirely up to them and their experience. But in the meantime, you know, as I've gotten older, I really realized that, you know, again, my intention when it comes to being intimate with someone is really important. And so intentional sex especially is kind of this heavy term that sounds really robot-y.
It doesn't sound like much fun, Sean.
Right. So in the meantime, what that really comes down to is being able to communicate your vulnerability. Being able to communicate your needs, being able to communicate, you know what, I'm actually not in the space to do that right now. I actually need you to be intimate with me in a different way. Or, you know, and again, when it comes to sexual trauma, you know, you have the ability to put your intention into anything. So, you know, if we don't put our thoughts or intention into sex, we go back down to biochemical default mode. So we're looking at reproductive drives and cycles. We're looking at basic ovaries, testes, all that good stuff. And that's a wonderful thing. This is how we're all here. That's not a bad thing. But for folks who are not looking to conceive a child, folks who are looking to actually, you know, enjoy a different experience, this is where, again, intention becomes very important. So our intention is to use that creative, fertile energy in a different way. That could just be to have fun in this particular moment and both being aware that, you know, we're in the same place and we love one another and that's fine. That could be to heal trauma. That could be to really help someone come back into the ability to be fully intimate with someone, which, like Dorothy said, really does take time, really does require maturity and patience. Or we could put it towards an art project. We could put it towards a crocheting a new blanket. We could put it towards anything. It's really, again, just the idea that you're basing your relationship with someone on honesty and clear communication. So there's not the opportunity for a power struggle. There's not the opportunity for someone to feel as though they can't say no and to develop together. And that doesn't have to be a lifetime relationship. That can be a short term, that could be a long term, that could be a lot of things. But putting your actual intention into the act of, you know, being intimate with someone else really truly does open the gateway for, you know, developing and evolving and experiencing all kinds of new things that may or may not have been anything that the other person was even aware of happening.
Wow, tremendous, absolutely. And I will say, since I'm in the control of the studio page, we did for just a short time have a caller who has blinked off. But I will say this, and then I'm going to, and thank you, Sean, very much for that wonderful, again, beautifully phrased and eloquent response. But to people who are noting, we're past the halfway point of the hour. We will invite you, I would say in five-ish minutes maybe or more. So if you would like to be in the queue, you will call this number. I think this is the first I've actually mentioned it, though it should be somewhere on the page you're looking at. But here it is. Call-in number for this live broadcast tonight is 1-805-292-0349. We would be very happy. Oh, yeah, and there you go. So there is someone who's going to wait, and just hang on. I will invite you, area code caller 763, in a relatively short time. Let's try to keep our Dorothy's answer about this same question, if she'd like, to about 5 minutes, and then we will invite 763 area code caller to the party. Dorothy, what's the part of the book you
got into, other than the got the download to do it?
It was my job to weave all the pieces together as everybody gave me their writing, so it all came out in the same verb tense, and I switched all the pronouns to third person and all those English teacher things that I know.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I was mostly responsible for the last chapter on our best advice, which tackles the issue of ethics, which the web is really big on. And that's one of our favorite things to talk about, my partner and I. So I'm the one that tied it up with that. So that ethical thing of, and you harm none, the energy you send comes back to you threefold, love is the whole of the law, and always practice safe sex. Meaning use condoms. That was my contribution.
Well, my goodness, so the weaver indeed of this, and I understand all of that, and retired English teacher that I am, I know the heavy work that can be. The real writing is the rewriting, as we get to find out. But how marvelous, and I just want to say this for, you know, be sure I put it in there, that what... And they're the other people who wrote parts, they are in their identity in terms of who they are, and some of their philosophy is reflected beautifully in the first few pages. Each of them, and I'm thinking that they are definitely in the audience here tonight. Well, if you two would be so gracious as to entertain this caller, I think I'd like to invite the 763 area code individual to join us. How would that be for the two of you?
So they
you know what, they went away again. This is a shy audience member, so I'm not quite sure. It's either that or the Mercury retrograde doing its thing.
I was just going to say, yes, the Mercury Fae are at work.
However, and I know, of course, we have some they are rapt listeners tonight, and we invite you with a comment. It doesn't have to be a question. And I've got to say, the more that this discussion in particular goes on, but then my time today in reading, I scanned quite a bit for the first time it came my way, but to read more of it, I am going to tell you the words that I have written down that describe to me this book, so I'll certainly put them out there now while you two are listening live instead of right at the end after I've thanked you and you might not hear them until a while. This book is indeed sensitively written on this very big topic. As Sean in particular has been saying, this is not something that we get to talk about in this regard. We talk about it in all the other ways which are totally not honoring of us as humans. It is a thought-provoking book, to say the least, and it is inspiring. So just to congratulate you on all those points in doing this. Was there ever a time that people were thinking, oh, my gosh, we're really going to put this out so people read it and our names are part of this book? Was that a thought?
I imagine it was, because I asked everybody what name they wanted to be known by, and most of them picked their magical names.
Yeah.
Which is to say, they didn't say they were Dorothy Abrams or Sean Jones.
Yeah. But still,
yeah, I definitely, I had to wrestle with that for a minute myself, and it ultimately came down to, this is a conversation that I would have with any one of my friends or anyone who approached me about it, so there's no reason why my name shouldn't be present, you know, in that list as it is.
Oh, yeah, and really, and again, I'm in Dorothy's age range, and I have children and grandchildren, and Sean representing basically my daughter's generation, I'm pretty sure. But and having been a public high school teacher and, you know, working with kids as they've gone through adolescence and all of this, and it, you know, the times have shifted a little from the 70s to the 80s, but still, this stuff is there, and it's all the harder, if you ask me, to deal with. So, again, I just praise for this book. And, again, reminding people who have found their way to this broadcast, whether it is live or whether they're hearing it in a podcast, this book is not just for people who have joined a pagan community. It is really for all of us. So I'm going to stress that and probably do it again at the end. What have we got here? There's some interesting other parts of it. Why don't we tackle this one in terms of... So it's number 10 on our list, because we each have a list here we're looking at, and we want to, there's so much to talk about, and we need at least another 3 hours, but we're confined to 90 minutes at max. So The question for you is this: what cautions would you tell people about practicing sex magic, and have you ever had a negative experience? So that's where I'm going with it, and again, whichever of you want to start off with this. What cautions and any negative experience around sex magic?
Well, I always caution people to work any magic, any magic, by being grounded first, in connection with the earth, so that you're working with the energy of the earth as opposed to your human battery, your own energy. Because you can get really drained doing any spiritual work, running on your own steam. So that's a caution in sex magic, too. Even if you aren't working sex magic, but just in your normal intimacy with your partner, yes, it can be tremendously restorative. It can increase your energy, and it can be healing, or it can be very draining. And that's about whether or not you're grounded. And people are naturally grounded sometimes and naturally ungrounded other times. All of us are. You need to think about that. That's part of the intentionality.
Yeah.
Another caution, again, is to talk with your partners. And with your if you're using non-physical sexual energy in a magical setting like a circle, people need to know what's going on and to be honest about what the ritual is, what our intention is, what our magical goal is. I remember sitting in a ritual years and years and years ago, and the priestess sprang a rather controversial spell on cursing a foreign leader. And I freaked because, yeah, don't do that in my ethical system.
Yeah.
And she agreed once she saw the look on my face that maybe this isn't the time to do that. So, again, communication. You've got to talk to people so they know what's going on and what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, going back to the ethical things of harming none and realizing what you send out comes back on you. What goes around comes around. And that's why I would oppose any really negative magic. Have I had a negative experience? No. But I had one of the women I worked with for a while on pastoral counseling had a casual sexual relationship with a man who thought he was going to do a favor and opened up her kundalini channels without telling her, A, what he was doing, or B, what it meant. And and she was a natural subject that kundalini energy ran through her chakra system, which is to say up and down the spine, rather randomly, so she could be picking up tomato soup in the grocery store and suddenly have a rush of sexual energy and find herself leaning on the shelf so she didn't fall on the ground. That was awkward, to say the least. And she had to find the vocabulary to deal with it, and it took her literally years to work that through and ground it out because she was totally unprepared. That was really irresponsible. But again, it's people who are abusing their own sexuality in order to create some ego trip. So that's one of the cautions I tell about that, you know, to people, is to be honest.
From one of your phones, it almost sounds like a freight train running through with the
whistle
blowing.
There is a train going past my
mother's
phone.
Really?
I did not realize the train sexual phone.
Oh my God!
Phone call. I've gone and hidden in another room.
That's fine. No, it's the train. It's the freight train of love. I'm going with that.
There you go. There you go.
It's
and
the power
so,
of love.
You said, that's actually a really great, it's a blaring reminder for me. One of my I think the only big caution that I would ever give anybody is to just be very aware of who you are sharing this kind of experience with. Because there are certainly things, just as Dorothy was just describing, either someone intentionally igniting energy that they're not expressing to you what they're doing or why they're doing it. But then again, when we're working on healing trauma, you know, there can be a lot of stuff that comes out of that. And if your partner isn't necessarily ready for that or prepared for that, that can be handled in a multitude of wonderful or maybe not so wonderful of ways. So there really does need to be, just definitely making sure that you're not meeting some brand new person that you really don't necessarily know just yet and saying, oh, let's go deal with all the stuff I've got going on. Taking your time and being patient and not rushing things. And, you know, I think delving into really intimate relationships takes time, period. It's not something that just automatically happens. There's definitely that wonderful level of Twitter patience when, of course, again, we're bathing ourselves in oxytocin, which is great. But at the same time, definitely just being patient and aware that we could bump into things that we weren't necessarily prepared for. And they're not bad things, but those are the challenges that you were seeking. And sometimes those challenges present themselves in ways we weren't anticipating.
Yeah, I hear that, and indeed. Well, I will say this to our listeners, and again, it's a big topic, and perhaps there's shyness among those people who would really like to call, but your opportunity to do so, dear listeners, is dwindling down just a bit. So I will encourage you. It's really a simple matter of just joining a conversation. The nice thing about doing it this way is just talking on the phone. There is not a vast audience of hundreds out there, trust me. This doesn't happen yet with my year plus of this. There's not a live audience of any great, great size. So if you're feeling a little bit shy, please do not. Just call, and it's just talking with these three very likable, approachable people. We're not scary. I know none of us are. And despite the topic, do call in if you like. And it is 1-805-292-0349. So 15-ish minutes at the most. So do, if you're sitting on your intention to call, get on the phone and join us. It's really very, very simple. And we'd really enjoy a question or a comment from any of you. So my thought is this, because we've really, and gosh, I think it's wonderful the ground that has been covered in the discussion so far. But let me ask you this at this point, since you've given some idea of what you've done in the book. And in this process, and I'm not sure how long it all took from beginning to end, but I'm sure it was a matter of months at the least, what might you have learned, each of you, in this process that's expanded your own knowledge or experiences or anything you might like to say? What's come out for you of writing this book for you personally?
For me, the whole section that Sean produced on intentional sex pulled a lot of things that I knew together, but I'd never really thought of it that way. She had studied that fairly specifically, and I really appreciated her input in producing that section, because I certainly couldn't have done that, or it would have taken me a lot longer. And yeah, it took us about a year to put all this together, even though it's a short book.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, the topic itself, and again, I think there's a brilliance in how it is, and I've read carefully probably 2/3 of it, and I know I want to go back and read it again, but as a writer myself, and especially of this particular topic, it is really brilliant in all that has been put in there. And the word that's coming to mind here is, with this collaborative effort, that synergy effect, you know, it's the, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. So it's wonderful, the synergistic work, clearly, and the energies of all of you coming together. It's a gift. It's really a gift to all who come to it and open its covers. So, Sean, how about you? What has been working on the book or whatever, what has it brought to you of in any way you want to express it?
Yeah, absolutely. I know for me it was definitely through a particularly wonderful and also difficult time in my life. I actually, in the midst of expressing all of the super wonderful ideas about intention and integrity and all of these things with Dorothy and the other folks, I had an intimate relationship completely disintegrate.
Oh, my.
And well, it's absolutely absolutely okay, only and especially because here I was talking about exactly the things that I needed to do for myself. And so I had to, again, come back to, you know, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, and, you know, really respecting my boundaries and being clear with what my needs were and where I needed my intention, you know, not only where it was at that time, but where I really wanted it to be in an intimate relationship. And, you know, and that individual and I, you know, we still talk and we get along in many kinds of ways, but at the same time, there were some, you know, pretty particular, you know, moments that were really painful. But knowing that I was especially, you know, sticking to exactly what it was that I believed in, actually made it a lot easier to process and understand. And and if anything, it was a big part of, you know, what I was writing and why.
Yeah. Oh, the journeys that we all are on, and all generations are impacted. I'm remembering Dorothy's comment earlier in the program. It's this love of ourselves, no matter age, no matter body type, no matter what this is, and loving ourselves initially. And I know there's parts of the book that talk about people who are unpartnered and how this sacred magic and this sex magic is important to anyone. It does not matter, partnered or non-partnered. I don't know if you want to add something in quick about that. There are many.
I do, actually. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because, again, this brought me back to, you know, dealing with, you know, a lot of the feelings that come out of a breakup or the end of a major relationship. And I have definitely been through my fair share of sexual trauma, you know, in my past. So, again, this brought me back to that whole lesson of being intimate with myself first. And it's not just an emotional aspect, it's a physical aspect too. And so if I can't have complete adoration and you know, and admire my own physical body and be able to be intimate with myself thoroughly, completely, inside and out, it's really difficult for me to then go and try to be intimate with someone else because I'm expecting them to do something that I haven't even been able to fully accomplish myself first. And so it's beyond the whole need to love you for you, girl, kind of thing. It's, no, you need to really be, you know, yeah, you need to be accepting of your body. And even with masturbation and orgasm, you know, there are definitely folks, and I can identify, who, you know, due to trauma, don't climax very easily. And that can be difficult to explain to someone first and foremost because they take it really personally sometimes when it's, has nothing to do with them. And so, again, this was the opportunity for me to come back and say, you know what, I'm just gonna be happy, literally doing me like this was. It was a really good and a really profound, you know, just coming back to myself really, truly, and literally. And so that's the opportunity that sex magic holds for anyone as a solitary. Just like in a lot of practices, there's still things that you can do within yourself that are just as important as it is expressing with someone else.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, before I forget it, Dorothy, you know what I want to add? Okay, just after you respond, let us do this so it's not forgotten. When you finish what you're about to say, please tell us how people can come to get the book. We have yet to have said that.
That's important. Right.
It is, but let's go to your response first. I just wanted to throw it out so we knew it enough to say it.
Yep.
Okay.
It's funny, I was looking at a part of the book that addressed exactly that when you asked about people without partners.
Perfect.
So there's the magic of it.
Yeah.
Is under ecstatic energy. I want to read what Missy had sent us.
Okay.
Shortly after her Reiki 3 attunement, the ecstasy spiraled through her, climbing and escalating, making every part of her physical being hum until the rush of orgasm hit her. She explained that through all this, we learn to love all of ourselves, every bit, every quirk. We learn we are as perfect as we're supposed to be at that moment as love flows through our bodies. Missy's energy flowed out to those around her. She shared the love with them as it streamed back and forth, washing everyone in pleasure. She had not expected this before the Reiki attunement. And that's that's a spiritual experience of what is also a physical reality. But there isn't any intercourse in the usual sense involved at all. And that's sacred sex also.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things around this program, and then we'll definitely get the where the book can be come from, is when I knew I was to offer this radio program, Voices of the Earth, what lies behind it is how people are bringing, manifesting, embodying, healing for the earth that we are all so beautifully connected to, and there are very many places that need this healing, starting with ourselves. And the more this is done, the more that a book like this and its inspiration reaches people, the more we are bringing this beautiful healing to this wonderful place for us and for our children and for those who come after us, and of course for our beautiful planet Gaia. So with that, certainly, how may people come to get a hold of this book?
Well, we encourage people to buy it from their usual bookseller. So if they, and it's a physical book and it's an e-book, published by Moon Books, which is in the UK, and it's available Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and you can ask your independent bookseller to order it for you.
Please ask your independent bookseller.
Yes, and I'll say it a third time, the independent bookstores, yes.
Yes. So it's available from all those places. I'm sure at the Fall Festival, Pagan Pride in Syracuse, New York, Liverpool, actually. The web will have a booth, and we'll be selling copies and signing them. And you might catch us here and there doing that. But we really encourage you to order it from one of the booksellers. And there's a little bit of selfish reason for that, because that counts toward our sales record, whereas when we buy them and sell them, it does not.
Yep.
And in the world of publishing, that has a lot to do with the kind of PR that your publisher puts out for you. Mm-hmm. So while we're talking about all this esoteric and spiritual heady stuff, we also have to be practical about the dollars and cents, and how do you get the book out there, and what do you do to market?
Oh, it's all that beautiful energy, and having it work is it's best benefiting to us. Last but not least, because I think we'll draw to a close for now. Although we could talk on and on, and our listeners have been rapt and shy, so I think that's what it is. But we appreciate that they've been here for you and listening, and podcast listeners and all of that. So with everything of this rich, rich conversation, it feels like, oh, my God, I've just got goosebumps just about to say this, like rich, dark chocolate. But how about the Webcast Center? The Webcast Center is a place people who live in upstate New York or who can get there. Tell us, can we come and visit you guys at the Webcast Center?
Oh, yes. Our rituals are open. We are family-centered. Believe it or not, we write a book about sex, and then we tell you to bring your children.
Bring your children.
Yep.
That's because,
I'm one of those people.
That's because we made a commitment several years ago to say that we wanted to incorporate whole families in our work. Yeah. So visitors are welcome as long as they come in a spirit of peace. And we'll teach as we go along if they're totally unfamiliar with the ritual format. We have most of our rituals are on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock, nearest the full moon or the Sabbath, which are eight a year. And if you go on to Webcast Center on their Facebook page, you'll get announcements on what the actual dates are. So that's how you can find us. We're at a storefront in Lyons, New York at 2 William Street.
Very good. And that there's another link. So that link for the Facebook page is on this show's page. And also a fabulous review. I just loved from a UK blogger who wrote about the book, so they can do that. Listen, before I let you go, I want to read this little passage that to me sums up beautiful things about your book, and then if there's something in addition you would like to add, but I'd love to share this with the listeners. I'm not quite sure where it came from, but I've pulled it out and highlighted it. This is what you said. I think it's near the end. Knowing the possibilities available to us when sacred sex and magic combine empowers our lives. Men and women in the web path, wrote this book to share common and uncommon knowledge about the magic of human sexuality. Magic and sex are sacred. Skipping a sentence. Perhaps it will inspire people, this book, to discuss their own needs for magic and ecstasy. Perhaps this book will create powerful spells that transform us or the world we live in. We, the web, envision big magic. I love that passage.
Thank you.
Do you have any last thing that you really hope to include during our time together? I don't need to rush you off, and would look forward to anything you still would like to include.
Oh, my. I'm happy with what we did.
Okay.
There's lots more in the book that we didn't do.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage people to take a look at it, especially if they need to heal from an old lover and just can't get over that experience. There's a passage for you in that and how to do it. If people wonder how to make the great rite real, which is the sacred marriage, in a symbolic sense, they go through the motions and it seems flat. There's some ideas about that.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a whole chapter about spirit lovers, which I'll just leave at that as kind of a tease.
Yes, that's
so,
a tease indeed, and I need to go back. Oh, perfect, perfect. Sean, how about you? What's the final thing you would like to say?
You know, I think, honestly, Dorothy summed it up, again, really, really well.
Yeah.
And I know, again, you know, for me this was just a really – really wonderful opportunity to learn more about myself, how I interact with others, and how that develops and evolves. And so if that's what people are looking for, either in an established relationship or a future one, this is the book for you.
Oh, golly. And it has been, in spades to agree with you to add in what Dorothy concluded with too. And I was so excited about this coming together tonight and knew we would have the most delicious, I'm thinking again of dark chocolate. Does sex make you think of dark chocolate? I don't know. I guess that's my
opinion.
However,
I prefer dark chocolate, so I'm not going
there's a
to
little bit,
with
there's
it
half
all.
Of one of my candy bars in the kitchen. I think it'll be waiting for me soon. But thank you both for... And on behalf of myself to your beautiful team, please do extend my thanks. I'm sure probably each of them will listen to this broadcast, or I have been listening, but you have given a beautiful chocolatey gift to the world. I've got chocolate now, so there that is, ladies. I'm not quite sure. So with that, and Voices of the Earth, I'm not quite sure where it's going after the end of the summer, but if indeed it continues, would you be willing to come back and talk more about this?
Oh, sure.
Definitely.
Of course.
I think there's, and maybe we'll get, so who knows, but we have this beautiful gem of a show just about ready to wrap itself up. So from all of our listeners who have been too shy to call up to say thank you, I'm thanking you on their behalf. And for myself,
thank
of course.
You,
it's been beautiful, and so go out and enjoy the rest of this beautiful June night. So, and please, listeners, know Dorothy is returning to the air July the 8th, and we have more wonderful stuff to talk about of her writing, so we'll be doing that. With that, Sean, with that, Dorothy, great, great thanks to you. Take good
thank
care
you.
Of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol, absolutely.
You're welcome. It's been a delight and a pleasure. Okay, so I'm going to mute you away, say goodnight, and sign off as I usually do. But off with you now to your June evening and the moon, which is still just, still beautifully full and is soon to rise. I want to, other than the thanks I've just given to these two beautiful women, it's just the level of energy I knew by the end of the program would be, and sometimes when these calls get so full with that, you literally do hear the crackling on the phone. It's the beautiful energies that flow. It's not just the topic. It's the spirit that comes to this, the spirit that we all share. We're individuated in ourselves, Sean Marie Jones, Dorothy Abrams, Carol Omar Behan, but we are so beautifully and sensually and just evocatively linked through this wonderful world that we share. We're bringing to bear upon it our compassion that begins with ourselves, that extends out to others in this wonderful book, Sacred Sex and Magic. And it's not going to take you a long while to get through it. You will just learn so much that will benefit you as an individual, as a partner within a relationship, as a human being upon this planet. I could not more urge anyone who hears this broadcast to go out and avail themselves of a copy. So that is what we have for tonight. Next week, another beautiful person joining me, Joan Port, an evolutionary astrologer. And the talk continues of this Voices of the Earth. So the two voices who join me tonight, my heartfelt thanks. To you listeners, new listeners in particular, thank you for finding your way to this program, live or in podcast. It is a pleasure to share these people with you and their stories. Please, if you'd like to know more, go see what other wonderful people have come to be on Voices of the Earth through this past year, goldenspiraljourney.com. With that, then, until the next time you find your way here, under this beautiful moon tonight, we're all in its light as the earth turns and Mother Moon shines upon us. I wish you well. Take good care. Namaste.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.